You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear and Trey Punch of the time clock on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Just got the notification on the phone, Bear. It's time for me to replace the air filters in the house. Hashtag dad life.
Covered Casa Smith.
Stately Smith Manor, yep. Every 3 months, man. Does it surprise you to learn that I am vigilant about the house air filters?
No, I mean, you're an allergy kid.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the original boy in the plastic bubble.
No.
But it is a good idea to do that. I changed mine 3 months on the – I don't announce it on the air, but
Trey, are you buying that Bear changes the house air filters in the Bear's den every 3 months?
Actually, yeah, I am kind of buying it because I change my air filters every 3 months.
I'm picturing Bears right now, the wheels turning. When was the last time I changed those filters? It was just all gray and dusty and gnarly.
No, it was 3 weeks ago. You know what a germaphobe I am?
What size filter do you have?
It's the 20x1x1. I can't remember. There's a letter on it. Maybe A, I think. I don't know. I'll go check it if you want me to.
Do you go all out? Like which?
I go with a filtery with I could buy the one that filters out
the most stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Russell, I've got a child that has who had childhood asthma and respiratory. What do they call it? It's asthma, but it's there's another word they add to it. But yeah, I've for the past almost 14 years had to be really aware of it because of my child. But even before then, I mean,
do you really think that's nasty? Like, I think it's the purple one. You know, they're like the red one is the cheapest. Folky has no idea what we're talking about now. He's young, doesn't concern himself with such things. But like the purple one filters out all the bad stuff. It's like $20 more expensive. Do you think that's real, or do you think it's one of those scams? Like I imagine the gasoline thing to be the different octane levels.
Well, that's not a scam either, but no, it's not a scam. You can tell if you look at them.
Do you put in, what kind of gas do you get, regular, premium, super?
On the car I've got now, I just get regular, but when I've had high-performance cars a couple of times, and I always put in, you have to, it starts running rough if you don't, if it's a real, you know. I mean, if the manual says it needs high octane, you know, last time I checked BMW, you know, unless BMW has a stake in, you know, the gasoline end of it. I mean, they're just telling
do.
You their engines run better.
You know what?
But their engines run, there's no doubt about it, because I tried using unleaded for a few tanks, and you could tell the difference.
You can't tell the difference.
You can if you've got, I wasn't driving around in a grocery grabber like you do, Smith.
Oh, I know. You're a bougie Bear driving all around in an expensive German automobile. But you know what red pilled me, Trey? You'll like this.
What?
On the gas thing, because somebody when I was younger talked me into like paying the extra 10 cents a gallon for premium gas or whatever. And so I was doing that for a while. And then I was watching an interview with Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knauss. And they said, and they were like doing a Q&A session. And somebody asked him this. And they were both like, yeah, that's a bunch of bull. Just take the regular, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't affect me. I mean, if I really want to ruin my car, I'll just throw some diesel in it. See how that plays out.
Well, yeah,
for
I mean, yeah, don't do that.
No. Well, there's a reason those you can't fit a diesel pump into a gasoline car. I don't know if you guys also had a diesel for a while.
I'll just shoot it in. It's all good.
That's what she said. All right, so coming up this afternoon, we have a big show lined up for you. We have the great Joe Rexroad coming up next hour. We've got Josh Pate from 247 in hour number three. We're wide open this first hour. If you want to take a shot, jump in, 865-546-8200. Some interesting scuttlebutt on the interwebs last night. High school sports in this state is very much up in the air as we hit on this a little bit yesterday with the governor extending the state of emergency through the end of August, and he did not specify what that meant for high school sports. And I realize he's the governor. He's got bigger things on his mind than TSSAA high school sports, but that is a big deal, man. It's a big deal for kids, for parents, for schools. It's a big money deal and all this stuff. And high school sports very much up in the air right now. I saw Stephen Hargis down in Chattanooga, who's one of the better high school sports journalists in the state, talking about one idea that evidently is being kicked around is flipping spring and fall sports and basically starting high school football maybe in January, which
seems like it'd be kind of cold.
Yeah, I mean, for the kids and everything, and I realize they do play in cold weather towards the end of the year, but it just seems to me, and maybe it's because we're a little bit older and more susceptible to the elements, and it's just like, dang, man, starting high school football, practicing outside every day in January plus games, that sounds absolutely miserable. That just sounds miserable.
Well, I know the TSSAA is having a board of control meeting tomorrow at 11 Eastern. Now, I've looked at their agenda. You can't figure out a whole lot from it. It's basically welcome. They're going to do a roll call. They're going to talk about classification. And then under number four, it says for the good of the order, whatever that means. So, but the big thing tomorrow is the classification discussion. I was talking to a local high school football coach earlier today, and he's flat out says feeling amongst a lot of coaches here in Knoxville is they don't see how we're going to have high school football this year. Because with the way the order reads from the governor, the first 2 weeks of the season are canceled as of now.
Well, I feel like it's the same thing we've been talking about pro and college, where I feel like the best chance for sports to be happened is at the professional level, because these guys are paid, they're adults, they will quarantine, I believe, by and large, in order to get their seasons completed. College is going to be different. If we expect kids to go to classes with other college students who are presumably going to bars and partying and doing whatever college kids do on the weekends, that's going to be much more difficult. The high school level, I don't know how you're going to do that, because you're going to be going to high school around, you know, student bodies, 1,000 other kids or whatever, passing those germs around back and forth. There's just, that seems next to impossible to do, at least here in the next month or two, in my completely non-professional, non-medical opinion.
Well, Barry, you were talking about, you know, the state of Tennessee. So the state of Alabama is having a meeting tomorrow. The state of Mississippi is actually meeting today to discuss, you know, secondary protocol, what they would do, the backup plan. And they're all talking about the same exact thing, flipping the schedule, spring, fall, and having that play out in a sense of, you know, with basketball and high school football. So it looks like it's getting talked. I mean, Texas high school football is the biggest thing there is in the Southwest. It's almost just as big as college football, if not bigger, to be honest with you. And I'm reading reports from writers down in that area that cover high school football that, yeah, they are having that conversation because, you know, Texas high school stadiums, man, that's 20 to 30,000 people every Friday night in some places. So they're having to have those discussions. So I'll be interested to see if they actually get to play high school football this year.
What does that mean for recruiting? Like if they just don't have high school football this year and they're still able to have online learning or something. Like what this Ballyhooed recruiting class that Jeremy Pruitt has assembled.
I hope their junior film looked good.
Do they just miss out on their senior year of high school football and they show up?
Well, they're not going to risk it.
Yeah.
So now, okay, here's what you have to think of too now, Bear and Russ. If they double switch, so if they switch high school football to the spring, how many players of these four or five stars are just not going to play because it could potentially ruin them going to college and enrolling in the summer and being able to go? So you're putting yourself into the injury area.
It was like Bear said yesterday, if he were Trevor Lawrence, he wouldn't play this year.
I wrote something after we got off the air. It's not just Trevor Lawrence. I mean, people were it may have been somebody on it was somebody with Clemson Radio. It was on the Sign Bomb yesterday and basically said, you know, if it hasn't occurred to you, you may have seen Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne suit up in a Clemson uniform for the last time.
So, I mean, but back to the high school situation, what happens if we can't have school? What happens if we cannot, you know, these kids who are rising seniors, right? They missed out on the last half of the spring semester of their junior year of high school education. So they're presumably behind in that regard. What happens if we go to school and it's a disaster and they have to shut it down? They can't do online learning like in college because not all public school children have access to internet and stuff like that. I don't know. But like what happens if kids don't graduate high school?
Well, it's not like they're not just going to not educate the kid. I mean, may have to do remote learning.
But what – I mean, not all – that's difficult. Not all children have access to remote learning capabilities.
Well, I saw where the city of Nashville, Davidson County, if I'm not mistaken, I know it's two. It's the Nashville Metro and then Davidson County, whatever. So they passed out, it was over 100,000 wireless notebooks to their students so that they would be able to continue their online education. And they gave one to every single student in that school district. And I get Metro and Davidson County confused. But I'm just saying they're giving out ways to try to help with online learning.
Yeah.
But not everybody's got damn Wi-Fi internet.
Well, that's what I'm saying. A couple of problems that just jump out immediately to me is A, what you just said. Not everybody has Wi-Fi internet. So you're going to be asking these kids to go to the library, things like that. And I'm just thinking back to when I was in high school. Like, I was not the fastest learner in the world. Like, I needed hands-on instruction. I needed a teacher to come, like, I don't get this. I can't complete this math problem. Like, and I would have to have somebody come over and go step by step. I think most people learned that way. So you're going to tell me that we're going to send, and let's be honest about it, no sense beating around the bush. The kids that we're talking about is not having internet access are obviously economically disadvantaged. They're going to have to go wherever they have to go to get that internet access. And then when they have an issue, problem that needs one-on-one human-to-human teacher-student instruction, it's going to be hard, man.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is, and, you know, a member of my family is one of the teachers that's been working on this, is that Knox County Schools, it's not like they're just sitting over there twiddling their thumbs. They've had a group of people that have been working pretty much day and night since they sent the kids home back in March for the summer, or for the spring and summer, that, you know, they're working day and night to figure out how they're going to meet the kids' educational needs. I mean, it's not going to be a situation where, you know, kids just aren't going to go to school for a year, not going to graduate.
But, I mean, there's just so many, and I realize, like, yeah, we can do hard things, and it's going to take a lot of ingenuity and elbow grease, but we got to do something because we can't just let these kids sit at home all day. And people don't have, care either. A lot of folks, both people are working. Both parents are working. But I understand Knox County is giving every student Chromebooks this year, but internet access and parental support are going to be the main issues. And, you know, we get back into the whole COVID situation and how selfish segments of our society have proven to be over the course of this entire thing. You've got some parents out there who are just not going to do the work, not going to look, you know, make their kids do the things that they're supposed to do. Yeah, some parents, they're going to – we give these kids Chromebooks, parents are going to take them. They might sell them. Like, that's an issue. So
they'll have to turn them back in. I mean, I mean, it's just like anything like that. I mean, if your kid gets a banishment, you just can't abscond with it. You can't just sell it.
What are you going to do? You're going to send...
There's consequences for it. I would imagine they're very similar. What happens if you rent a, you know, if you're...
Blockbuster?
Got an instrument or... No, Russ, it's a little bit different going and getting a couple of videotapes. You know that. You're not dumb. You know that. And Blockbuster my ass. Come on, man. Let's say your kid's in band. He's got $1,500 instrument. What do you think happens if you sell that thing, Russ?
You probably don't get to be in band anymore. But they're not going to ban him from coming to
school.
They're
going to come at no, but they're going to come after the parents for the damn money.
They'll say I don't have it. It happens all the time. It's called libraries. People don't.
Then you get your paycheck garnished. I don't know what to tell you.
They're going to garnish my paycheck. You're going to garnish some. Single
steal
mom's
basically
paycheck.
Steal and sell a $1,500
stop.
Piece of equipment. Yeah,
they're
you
giving
stop
to these kids. They're not asking them to be repossessed. They bought them for the kids. They got a grant to pay for the kids just to have permanently. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I had pretty big racked up bills at Blockbuster where I had to start going to Hollywood Movie because I couldn't pay off the Blockbuster debt.
Yeah, it's
always sucks.
Listen, man. The parents are we're in a tough spot right now, and you got to get these kids to school for their education, so parents can work, so we can get society moving again, for a billion different reasons, right? But as we're seeing in trying to get the sports world up and running. Not easy. It's not easy. And every time you turn around and think you've got one question solved and a solution for that, you turn around and there's a billion different other questions behind you. And that's kind of where we are right now. I mean, look at how much trouble we're having getting professional sports going right now. And this should be the easiest of the three between pro, college, and high school. Professional sports should be the easiest. And we're seeing with the NBA today, where DeAndre Jordan has opted out. Another one of the Nets, Dinwiddie, has tested positive. The Denver Nuggets have closed their facility because of the virus. And they're supposed to start here at the end of the month. Tomorrow's the first day of July. And it's looking a little dicey right now. I still think they can do it, but it's looking dicey. Yes, Trey.
So I wanted to add something to that. I've spoken with a couple folks at Tennessee today. And so SEC, and I know we're going to get into this later, SEC Media Days was pushed back. But the main reason for that is because they didn't want to sit up there and ask a bunch, you know, answer the COVID question 136,000 times. There's no need for it. But I was told by two folks at Tennessee today this statement that the next 2 weeks will probably decide if we have college football in the fall. And I mean this in a sense of players are going home this weekend. They are leaving the University of Tennessee. They are being allowed to, I think it starts Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. They're being allowed to go home for the July 4th weekend. They'll come back. I think it's Tuesday. Don't quote me on that, but they'll come back. They'll have to redo the testing part of it. They'll have to go through this whole situation again. And then however the next 2 weeks play out around college football and around these players going home and coming back and whatnot, they think that's going to decide if we get college football in the fall.
Well, there's some other options. There's some other options. One option that's being talked about is moving the start date back a couple of weeks, a month, whatever. Another option is being, you know, eliminating non-conference games, having some sort of a truncated conference-only schedule. Another option is playing the games in the spring. And we'll kick those around when we continue. If you want to jump in, 865-546-8200 is your number, 546-8200. It is The Drive. It is Fan Run Radio, and we're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Known dullard West from Franklin says, I still have VHS copies of Coming to America and The Prize Fighter starring Tim Conway and Don Knotts that I never returned from a video store on Oak Ridge Highway. I think the statute of limitations is right. Those are your videos now, Wes. You fool. You thief.
I bet he's still got a VCR, dude.
I think they got one Blockbuster left in Alaska if he wants to try to return it.
Eric says, as far as those Chromebooks go, they'll be taken up at the end of every school year. If they aren't returned, they'll be billed for the device. Yeah. Luck with that. How'd you like to be a bill collector for Knox County Schools? Going to some, shall we say, disadvantaged neighborhood to talk with somebody about the $100 they owe you now for the Chromebook that Junior hawked for a new skateboard or a dime bag. Seems like a tough game.
Yeah.
Seems like a tough game. Brian says, I think I can get behind football in the spring if Florida visits Neyland in January. Yeah, well, now help me out here, Bear. Is the thinking behind moving football back into the spring just that we're going to have a vaccine by then? Because if not, I don't see what changes, really. Unless
nothing would. They're just buying time, dude. Hoping for a vaccine or hoping that it's, you know.
But there's talking about flipping the sports and playing like high school baseball and softball in the fall, which kind of makes sense. Those kids didn't get to play their sports this past year, and it's less contact, I suppose.
Yeah.
But if the numbers are still going crazy and we're playing baseball, this ain't the major leagues where they're just tossing baseballs into the crowd for sport. You know, they've got to use the same equipment.
Yeah. I mean, but it is, you know, they could, I mean, conceivably, I guess they could do golf. They could probably do tennis in the fall.
Yeah.
They honestly could probably do track in the fall. But that's all based on just assuming that schools open normally. You know, I know that me and you have disagreed on the college level. I don't think we, I'm sure you, if school's not in normally, it's academic, isn't it? They aren't going to have sports.
Yeah, it seems like it would be hard. I mean, I guess my feeling personally is like if the tennis and golf teams want to get together and just play their seasons, it's not like that's a major moneymaker for the TSSAA. Like, I don't see the any harm in that, but it's – It's beside the point. Like, we still don't have school, which is the major issue. Like, college kids don't get to go to classes. Like, you know, at least they've got their high school educated. Don't get me wrong. It's a terrible thing for them and the faculties and things like that. But 15 and 16 year olds need to be in school learning stuff.
Well, yeah. It's just, you know,
just a matter of human
territory.
Yeah, basic human development. Okay, let's switch gears here a little bit. And Trey, I want to talk about what the some of our football players, namely Josh Palmer and Trey Smith, a couple of big names, key guys on the upcoming team, were evidently on the UT Sports is doing this podcast, the Slice, where they talk to some of the players about their lives and what's going on and everything. And I've not listened to this podcast, but they apparently they did one where some of the players were talking about incidents that, you know, how they've dealt with racism in their personal life and stuff like that. And Josh Palmer last night tweets something to the effect of, "Hey, if you fans can't support us speaking our minds, then don't bother showing up supporting us for the games."
Well, let me cut you right there just for 1 second. I'm sorry, then you go on. So I listened to the complete podcast, and I put the quote out from Josh Palmer. I was like, "Damn, that's a very strong quote." Palmer didn't put anything out. I just want to tell you how it all went down. Josh Palmer, you know, I put out the quote from him and Trey Smith, and it just completely blew up in the replies. And then Trey Smith released a statement today. So I just want to put it out. Palmer didn't tweet anything last night. He said this in the podcast.
No, that's
go ahead.
That's an important distinction. Here's how I feel about it. It's a dangerous game, first of all, to any time. We talk about what kind of money the university is going to be losing. If they don't have fans in the stands, it's well over $30 million in revenue that the University of Tennessee Athletics Department is going to be missing out on. So obviously, that would lead to all sorts of budget cuts. They'd have to lay people off. I mean, they just would. You'd probably have sports canceled. You're already seeing budget cuts around in some Power 5 conferences today. I'm sure Bear will have more of that coming up on the Top 4 at 4. But for me personally, guys, there are all sorts of bands I listen to, movies I watch whose directors or actors – political opinions, A, I might not agree with, B, I don't care about, but I'm still going to consume the entertainment. I root for the University of Tennessee athletics teams. It's about the orange and white first and foremost. Doesn't mean I don't love and appreciate the players and want to see them succeed, but to me, like, if you are – this is a problem with the polarization in our country, right? If you are going to live your life by some sort of purity test, I cannot engage with anyone on any level unless they believe exactly what I believe. Otherwise, they're just dead to me. That's a tough spot to be in. And I'm not coming after the kids on the team because they're kids, right? They're 20 years old. All of our political opinions and social opinions and stuff were not fully formed or well articulated at that age. So it was shocking to me, Trey. I see where Trey Smith quote tweeted one of the replies to your tweet. Alvin Kamara responded and everything. So it's a hot button issue, man. People are passionate about it.
Yeah, and so if you don't know what he said, in the podcast, they were talking about instances where they felt that they were the target of racism. And then it got to how the fans support the players. They got into Jeremy Pruitt, you know, walking with them at the march, and then it went into, you know, them representing Tennessee and how fans. You got to go back and listen to the podcast. But the quote from Josh Palmer was, exact quote, "At this point, any fans out there, if you guys don't support us as human beings, don't come to the games. Because I'd rather have nobody in the stands than a bunch of fakes who pretend to like us because we entertain them." Trey Smith said, right after this.
I was just picturing Philip Fulmer reading this and like rubbing his temples tiredly.
Trey Smith says, I second that 100%. At the end of the day, I'm not here for your simple amusement and entertainment. I'm also a human being. I can think. I'm educated. I speak well. I'm still a person. At the end of the day, we can't remain muzzled. And I thought that was a fair... I thought Josh Palmer's was a fair statement. He was speaking what was on his mind. He's not out here calling Tennessee fans racist or nothing like that. What he's saying is and asking, hey, guys, look, you guys cheer for us on the field on Saturdays. We would really appreciate it. Even if you don't agree with us, don't hate on us for voicing our opinions for what we believe. Well, we can all disagree, but we don't have to go at each other if we disagree. That's how I took it. I hope a lot of fans take it.
Yeah, it's. I always have to try and tell myself it's just Twitter, right? When you see angry responses or trolls trying to start something, like, I have to remind myself. The loud, angry people stand out, right? When it's like they stand out disproportionately to the people that are like, yeah, that seems reasonable, whatever. But we're not used to this, right? We're not used to college athletes talking about anything other than sports. And I think, I mean, look, we all know these guys have lives, and you're 18 years old, they're probably voting. They're probably have a wide variety of opinions on a wide variety of subjects. So it shouldn't surprise people that got, and now in a day and age when, because of social media, everybody has a voice. And if you're an athlete and you have fans for your team, you have an elevated and amplified voice, then it really shouldn't be a surprise when people start using it. They just didn't have the option 20, 40, 50 years ago, unless you were Muhammad Ali or Kurt Flood or somebody. Like, you didn't have the option to get up on a soapbox and speak your piece about whatever it is you wanted to speak on. Now everybody has that option, even if you don't have fans or a following. You could have one guy, somebody like Trey tweets out the quote from Josh Palmer last night, and you have one guy who might have 12 followers tweet something incendiary in that, and then all of a sudden Trey Smith gets upset or Alvin Kamara gets upset and they respond to that. Well, all of a sudden that guy with 12 followers has 50,000 people who've just seen what he tweeted.
Right. That's exactly what happened. I mean, some of these cops, maybe you had Maurer in there, you had JG in there, you had Ty Chandler in there and voicing their opinion. And then, to give you more context to this whole thing, too. So when speaking to somebody in the media relations department today, they said, look, nothing will ever be the same again when it comes to players. They have the power to speak their mind. And as a university, we stand behind our student athletes. Now, they also said, we gave them a microphone and said, voice your opinion. And he goes, we stand behind this. Now, the person also said that it got to a point where some people either don't want to hear it or they have their own opinions. And nothing's going to change that. But they said the University of Tennessee stands behind their student athletes in whatever they say. And I think that's why you saw Trey Smith come out and put out a statement today about it.
Let me ask you that. Bear, let me ask you this, because I think this question cuts to the heart of the matter and whatever uneasiness players, fans, anybody might be feeling about this. Are you worried about a fan-player divide playing out publicly and being an ugly situation for the university and its fans and its players where there's a divide.
No, because it's like you said. I mean, it's and I recognize some of the names of the people with the 15 followers that jump in there. I think it's they're a very vociferous, group, but they're still just a narrow sliver of the fan base. And I think that's why you saw, Trey Smith, what he tweeted out a few hours ago about, it's one of the reasons that he came here was the insanely intense, loyal fan base. For the most part, 99% of the fan base always has the kids' backs over there. So what I took out of that whole thread was, with Kamara, just what he wrote was just funny to me. And dude's a funny guy.
You're a funny guy, Alvin. Yeah. You're a funny guy. 865-546-8200. We have big news. Johnny Majors documentary is going to premiere later this week on ESPNU. We'll tell you when. Coming up next, stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
ESPNU will debut an hour-long documentary celebrating the life and legacy of the late Johnny Majors coming up Friday night at 8 p.m. That'll be must-watch TV as far as I'm concerned. I'll have my popcorn ready. Johnny Majors straight ahead debuts 8 p.m. Friday on ESPNU, and then we'll re-air at noon Sunday locally on WVLT Channel 8. Right here in Knoxville. Very cool stuff, man. Can't wait.
Can you imagine? Just picture in your head, 8 p.m. Friday night, Jeke's living room.
He has his tissues ready. Here's my question. And by the way, VFL Films, Barry Rice and those guys produced this. What a quick turnaround, man. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's quick.
Quick question, and then we want to get to the phones here. What role do you think Coach Fulmer plays in this thing? And do you think he will address anything about 1992?
No.
He's got to be in it, right? I mean, he's got to be on camera praising Johnny.
Oh, sure. He will be, but I don't. I mean, this is a.
Do you think the
almost like a eulogy kind of?
Do you think they'll address it? I mean, it's VFL, like. That's their in-house production unit.
I would imagine it's probably going to be, very, very soft. I don't think they're going to.
Barrett, I think you might agree with me. I think this is the one that they were going. Remember, they released a statement. They were going to do a virtual tribute to Johnny Majors when he passed away. They put that in the statement. I bet this is it. Like, this is the virtual tribute that they're going to do. I bet this is the documentary.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot about his coming here and his career as a player, when he came back, beating Alabama.
Sure.
And on building the program. I don't think they're going to
dwell on it too much. Hour-long documentary with two or three commercial breaks. It's going to be a 42 to 45-minute program.
There's just too much stuff in his life.
Yeah.
Waste any time on that.
Not to dwell on this again, but I mean that's really the sad part of the entire thing is it was like I realize it was a major event in his life and he felt like he should have been able to ride into the sunset and retire on his own terms here, but it doesn't take away from the amazing life and the amazing football life of Johnny Majors, but. Anyway, let's get to these phones here this afternoon. Jamie's up first today on The Drive. Good afternoon, Jamie.
Hey, looking forward to that, man. That sounds I can't wait. Bringing up Philip Fulmer and, contrast to Johnny Majors. One of them, when he was fired, stood up there with his chest out and was like, this would be my last season. The other one had his wife come up and stare at the whole audience like, how dare you?
Oh, come on, Jamie.
That didn't happen.
Well, it was different circumstances, man. I mean, one was in Knoxville at the press had changed a lot too, but between 92 and 2008.
Russ, if you were being fired and your wife came up here, wouldn't you say, what the hell are you doing up here? Get back down there. I don't need you to come up here and put your arm around me while I'm getting out of here speech. And not only that, Russ, he had his players sit on the front row threatening the press.
Well, you tell me.
I mean,
Hold on. I'm a facts guy too, Jamie. And you had Johnny Majors up there in 1992, an angry old man chastising everybody. It was awkward for everybody involved. And you had Philip Fulmer up there in 2008, tearfully talking about how he loves Tennessee too much to see her divided. Yeah, it was sad that they both handled it their own way and neither one was wrong, man. Back off. You're out of line.
Sorry, Russ. I didn't know you and Coach Fulmer were so tight, but I'll acquiesce. That's fine.
I'm going to sit here and let you come on here and rip Vicky Fulmer, man. This guy's wife. Leave her out of it.
I wasn't ripping her.
Yes, you
I
were.
Ripping him. I'm ripping him for letting her do it.
Well, yeah, letting her do it. It's 2008, Jamie. Women do what they want. It's not like he's going to turn and say, get your ass back in the kitchen, iron my shirt. She's a strong woman. Show some respect.
You got it, Russ. My bad. I'm sorry. You can take a deep breath. Guys, you know, you talk about the student-athletes of Tennessee should be able to say whatever they want, correct? You agree?
Yeah, last time I checked, they're Americans. They've got the same First Amendment rights that we all do, brother.
What would we say if one of them said what that student at Kansas State said? Would that be allowed?
Refresh my memory.
You can say anything you want. We aren't going to repeat what the student at Kansas State said. It was
in
horribly bad.
It's horribly bad taste, but he said it. And I just think we need to be careful when we say, you know, hey, I stand behind my student athletes and whatever their opinions are, you know, because somebody might have that opinion. And as we all know, that was in terrible bad taste.
Here's the difference, Jamie. Here's the difference. I stand behind my student athletes' right to say whatever they want to because they are Americans. And that is the first guarantee we have is that you can say whatever you want. It's called freedom of speech. But there's consequences for every decision that you make in life.
That disclaimer at the end after your comma is what needs to be said, too. I mean, like I said, there's some awful things people can say. And the student at Kansas State certainly stepped in it with what he said. And that kind of stuff needs to be checked. So I just think whenever you just say, hey, I stand behind my student, I give my student athletes a platform and they can say whatever they want. I think you need to say, but... You got to watch what you say, regardless if that's how you feel or not. So, but yeah, Russ, I didn't want to get flushed, so let me pile back on. Yeah, Philip Fulmer didn't have broad shoulders. He was sitting up there like a coward and let his players go.
Get him out of here! Fulmer said, "Get him off! Get him off! Off!
You're done. You're done. Stick a fork in him.
The hell out of here, Jamie.
Well, that took a turn.
It's an outrage.
What does he mean? And you guys got to refresh me because you got to remember I was covering Alabama and Auburn at the time. What did he mean when the players were on the front row pissed off at the media?
You tell the story, Russ. You were there.
2008, when Philip Fulmer was forced to resign.
Right.
There is a very tense press conference in the bowels of Neyland Stadium.
I've watched it, yeah.
And there were a bunch of players there beforehand, and they are basically sitting in the seats that are there for media to go and cover the event, and they weren't getting up. Yeah, and it was tense, man. It was just a sad scene, man. And Coach Fulmer's like one of the strongest guys, you know, a true man's man. It's up there, tears in his eyes. It tore him apart.
It tore my heart out, man.
It happened twice. Hey. It happened with Coach Fulmer. It happened with Coach Majors. And if we're lucky enough, damn it, it'll happen with Jeremy Pruitt. What a way
I'd
to
have
go.
A Bruce Pearl as well.
Yeah.
Damn, why did Tennessee make everybody cry?
Because it's a special place, Trey. They don't cry when they leave Alabama or Florida. Those dumps.
Or Auburn.
When they sucks. Drag you, they got to drag you kicking and screaming out of this paradise we live in. That's why.
Damn.
That's why they're crying. Tears of joy. You ever had your heart ripped out, Trey? You ever had a broken heart? It's the same thing, man.
No, I get that. I'm not talking about the Bulmer press conference. I've watched it 1,000 times. I understand that. But I just didn't know that that backstory. Because at the time when that was going on, I was about to cover. I was 2 weeks away from covering Tupperville's last press conference at Auburn, which was crazy.
Coming
yeah, but
up.
I mean, Tommy Tupperville wasn't a legend.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. There's such a huge difference.
Legendary douche.
What did you just say?
Congressman.
No.
Can you say that?
No.
Coming up, hour number two of the drive. Barrel, have your top four at four. We're going to visit with our friend Joe Rexrode out in Nashville, get his thoughts on college football. They're having a much rougher time with the COVID in Nashville than we are in Knoxville, correct?
Yes.
So, oh, yeah, absolutely there.
So Joe's in the epicenter down there. We'll talk to him. Josh Pate, 247 Sports, coming up in hour number three. A lot to get to. I do not have a cancellation list, by the way. I know some of you guys are out there who spend all day on social media had this. If you want to send me the cancellations, who's been canceled the last 24 hours, we'll run down that for you as well. That's become a popular segment. Stay tuned. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this.
The Drive.